I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. This week, you are joined by Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. And this week, we have a very special guest. If you have been, like me, obsessively watching BBC Three's I Kissed a Boy, you'll be familiar with gorgeous Gareth Valentino. Welcome to So I Got to Thinking.
Hi.
Hi, girls. How are you?
Oh my God, is that your Danny Minogue voice?
What is it she says when she walks in? She's like...
Buongiorno, boys.
Buongiorno, boys. Yeah, we live, we serve. That's what she. That's the first moment we say to her. I was like, yes, okay, it's going to be good.
I just need her to say I wasn't expecting the boys.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Oh, and yet she hasn't said it yet. It's so frustrating. Do you know what? I'm so glad we've got you for this episode. I'm fresh off the episode. I've literally just come away from watching it.
Yeah,
oh, the episode 4.
Oh, no, the of Sex and the City.
Oh, the domino effect.
The domino effect. Because I think there's lots of parallels between Carrie's journey in this episode and what you're all going through in the, not the villa, Love Island has claimed the word villa. So you're in the...
Masseria. Like,
Masseria, there you go. There's a word I can't say. Well done.
It's like it's like an Italian farmhouse. I think that was that's the meaning of it. The gorgeous Italian farmhouse.
It's not the villa. So Gareth, tell us, why did you decide to go on I Kissed a Boy?
You know, honestly, they reached out to me on Instagram and I wasn't having much like luck in the dating pool of London, the cesspit I like to call it. Yeah, it just wasn't going anywhere. I was getting bored of like hookup culture, to be honest. I was like, I can't really be bothered. You know when you can just like, you have someone over from Grindr and you're like, oh, I just want you to leave now. It's always the way.
Yeah.
Could have just had a wank and it was fine.
Sometimes you get to the point where you're like, if I see one more penis, I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, I'm fucking over it. Literally
well,
over
I'm
it.
Trans, so sick absolutely.
Sick, I'll be sick on it.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I was just tired of it. And I was like, oh, I'll take this as a sign then. This is like a new, different way to meet people. I've never been matched before, like based off of like chatting with other people. So I was like, fuck it, let's just give it a go. Why not? What can hurt?
You could say... you went into it with an open heart, which takes us nicely to this week's episode of Sex and the City.
Oh,
Dylan,
nice. I like
do
that.
You have a potted synopsis?
I do. So, Carrie, a big is back. And Carrie proceeds to make his surgery about her, which, are we surprised by that? I don't think so.
Carrie's a dick.
But it leads into the main question for the episode, which is about having an open heart. There's like a sort of allegory there. The question is just how dangerous is an open heart, but we'll get to that. Samantha is homophobic.
He's holding hands.
No, Samantha says fag. And and also has an existential crisis about holding Smith's hand. And so it's about Samantha's like issues with intimacy.
Smith's hot. Smith is hot.
Oh my god, that outfit when they were walking down, when she
falls. I don't. I don't fuck with like blonde guys or that. Like, it's not my taste. Like white blonde guys, not for me. But he looked so hot in that like that episode. He looks hot anyway, but like specifically there, he was hot. Yeah, it's very you actually. The outfit,
The heart, like the sort of slightly gothy vest. Yeah, I loved it.
Cam, love.
Charlotte tries acupuncture to try and get pregnant, and. Yep. Oh, Miranda and Steve encounter each other's new partners.
Partners, yeah.
Yeah.
With hilarity ensues. Yeah, all around.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about Dr. Robert Leeds again, who...
Oh, stunned. Oh,
yeah, stunned.
Powerfully sexy.
Stunzilla. Stunzilla.
I'd go as far as to say, like, maybe a 10. At least a 9.
Yes.
I think a 10. I don't know.
I'm gonna say a solid 8.
Yeah, because 10. Yeah. If you think like 10 is like the absolute best.
Yeah, never give them too much. Never give them too much. Never.
At this point, he's a 10, but we know he becomes a horrid little crybaby.
Yeah.
In about 3 weeks' time, when Miranda breaks up with him, so we know he's about to become a horrid little
crybaby, a little piss baby bitch, as I like to say.
Yes, very very there. But it's funny, this episode, I remember this one as being like an amazing episode. And actually, I was half distracted by Instagram, which is never a good sign.
Uh-huh.
But let's delve, first of all, into Carrie, who is undergoing some big stuff. And we know. I mean, I think everybody listening to this podcast has seen Sex and the City. It's not going to come as a surprise.
I mean,
but
I would hope so.
Somehow season 6 manages to get Carrie and Big back together, even though I think he's in like 4 episodes or something this season. Like, he's barely in it, and yet you're kind of like, it's very sort of signposted. And in this one, there is the biggest sign yet that Carrie and Big are going to be getting back together. We start with Carrie and Big having steak. In a restaurant, and Big reveals he's having heart surgery, and Carrie bursts into floods of uncontrollable tears.
The terrible crying, I can't.
What do we think? Is that an understandable reaction? Have you ever been reduced to tears?
I don't know. I feel like she cried way too violently, way too quickly. I mean, it might just be down to her terrible acting. But I mean, if someone I loved told me they were going through open heart surgery, I would immediately be like, shit. Yeah. It would be a bit more, oh, are you okay? Like, it wouldn't be, it's like not me. It's not about me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd maybe like, because I was thinking about this too, I'd maybe like feel the tears pricking. You know, when you get like really emotional or major news, you're a bit like, oh God.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't like scream the house down. I don't know, although they are American, so.
No, I'd literally just be like, waiter, can I have a tequila? Do you know what I mean? Like, let's get you a drink, darling, because fucking hell. Jesus.
Yeah, I think my response would have been a practical one as well, which I think I would have been much more keen to know, well, who is your surgeon?
Yeah.
What's the prognosis? Mm. Will you need to be on medication?
Yeah.
I think I'm much more of a fixer than a sobber. I think I would try to fix him, which that's my problem with men. but that's for a different episode. I've just got to thinking, are we all trying to fix broken men?
I can fix him.
Danger. Red flag. No, you can't. Juno, you can't. Move on.
No.
So then we sort of have all this strange... So Carrie thinks the reason she's sobbing is that for 6 years, she's kind of repressed a lot of her feelings about Big, and now it's all bursting out through her eyeballs.
Yeah.
Is it just that she's just still in love with him?
But then it ends with, the episode ends with her being like, oh, actually, no, like, I don't care, basically.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's like an ego thing. I feel like it's kind of like all centered around her, do you know what I mean? Like, it's very, her first reaction was to burst out tears and crying because it's affecting me. It's how I'm feeling. It's how I'm affected. She wasn't like thinking about him straight away. Do you know what I mean? She wouldn't ask him like questions about how he's doing or what he's doing or what it entails, or as you say, like, who's your doctor? Do you need any medication? Like, all this kind of stuff. So it just seemed very like central to her. selfish bitch.
Although she does take time out of her life to dress as an adolescent girl and then go around to his hotel room. I mean,
insane behavior.
The woman is mad. Let's be very clear. She does dress as, so it's an American thing, the candy striper, which is something we don't really have in the UK because we pay people to work in hospitals.
Yeah.
We don't rely on volunteering teenage girls dressed as jailbait. which I think is not a way to run a health service. But she clearly, and I think I wonder if some people do flock to drama. And so clearly Carrie has inserted herself into Big's drama. So she obviously still really cares for him because she keeps crying and she goes around to play dominoes with him. But it leads to, I suppose, what is the most pivotal scene of the whole episode, the one which makes this episode really vital, which is where Big is ill. Maybe he gets some sort of infection or complications. And he basically, we see this other side of Big that we've never seen before, where he is incredibly emotionally open and tells her, seriously, kid, what are we doing? You and me, the early bird special. Mm-hmm. Let's get married and one day I will die on an exercise bike in our wardrobe.
God,
that's what he's saying to her, isn't it?
It does hit a bit different now, like after And Just Like That, knowing that it all ends in tears.
Well, this heart thing comes back to get him.
Yeah, this was the start.
It was seeded 20 years earlier, you know, that he is going to drop dead on his... whatchamacallit.
I liked that he said, what are we doing, kid? At first I was like, oh, that's a bit pervy.
But yeah, then
I
kid, thought, ew.
Yeah, kid, ew. And especially with her dress like that. But then I thought, no, because old Hollywood actors taught, like, it's very like Breakfast at Tiffany's. Like, you can imagine like, oh, who's the guy who's in Breakfast at Tiffany's? Iconic.
George Hepburn.
Yes.
And Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard.
So. Yeah. Peppard.
You can imagine him saying that, and it really fits into Carrie's, like, fantasy, doesn't it? Of, like, old... She's very, like, old New York, you've said before, Juno, like, cinematic. I don't know if it's deliberate, but I like that the way that he talks is very kind of like that era.
But, I mean, she loves... I mean, like, it suits Carrie because, I mean, she's a writer and she wants to romanticize everything. So I think she looks at it all to be like, oh, this is part of a plot. This is part of, like, the story. You know, this can like, just the plot up a bit. And we'll dress up and this is a light fit. You know, do you know, it's very that. She wants to make it New York and sexy.
And I think her reaction... So the next morning when... he wakes up and his temperature has come down and he's feeling better and he's become closed off again. It felt like there was something quite truthful about Carrie's response to that because she has been hurt by this man multiple times. Mm. And so she knows enough about Big to recognize the difference between him when he's tripping off his tits when he has a fever and like, oh, okay, not this time. And of course, we are counting down the weeks now to one of my favourite scenes in all of Sex and the City history, which is the amazing 6 years of never being different when she really tells him. She really goes for it. So you can walk up and down my street because I don't live here anymore. That's the best. Give her an Emmy.
She got an Emmy.
But we're counting down to that. But I remember at the time... when I first watched this, thinking, oh my God, is this it? Are like Carrie and Big going to get together now? Mm. Is this where they get together? And then, of course, like the next scene, you've got him being, I'll just have some toast. I'm not even going to mention what we talked about last night because I already regret being emotionally vulnerable.
Right.
Silly old Big.
But you're right. You're right, Juno. It is clever of them to signpost him throughout, because if someone had said to me, like, is Big in season 6, I'd be like, yeah, he's in like loads of it. But the fact that he's only in 4 episodes out of 20, yeah, clever of them to always keep him hanging around. And he's not in it much. And part of me wonders if maybe Chris Noth was like busy or something, like off doing something.
I think that there's possibly, I'd have to check this out, but what year did The Good Wife start filming? Was he filming The Good Wife?
Maybe.
I don't know.
You know, I've never seen that. I've never seen The Good Wife.
Me either, actually. No, never apparently seen it. It's very good.
It's one of my favourite shows.
Oh, really? Oh, I have to get that watched.
Yeah.
Because on So I Got to Thinking, we recognise Chris Nurse is incredibly problematic, and his personal stuff. We're going to have to separate the art from the artist, as we have to do with so much.
Yeah, I was thinking things. That though. And I was thinking, like, God, the chemistry again between them, it's so good. And he is, as an actor, he's so good.
It's the scene where he's like, I'm alive!
I think he's hot.
Interesting. What do you think is hot about him? And again, we stress Mr. Big, not Chris Noth.
I don't know. I have such a thing for, like, noses. He's a very interesting, he's like a pelican. Do you know what I mean? I don't know
That's
why.
True.
A very strong, like, side profile and like a heavy brow, and you just know he smells good. He smells like leathery or like tobacco-y or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like expensive, like a really expensive fragrance. Yeah. As
and
well.
He wears a nice like shoe. Always. Like a Cheney Brogue, you know. He's kind of 1950s.
I reckon Tom Ford, tobacco vanille. I reckon.
Excuse
for Mr. Big.
Excuse me. Big slay. Absolutely.
So Carrie ponders in a very tenuous eating an apple, thinking about open heart surgery moment. She ponders at her laptop, just how dangerous is it to have an open heart? I think this is a good question about the dangers of what happens when you really put yourself out there. And this runs through Samantha and Smith's storyline as well, because Samantha is very allergic to the idea of becoming dependent on Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm really glad we've got you, Gareth, mm-hmm. because I think to go on a reality TV show is really, really brave. And I did a reality show for ITV years and years back. And I remember that moment of realizing that literally nothing is under my control.
Yeah.
That it was... these people are filming me and they're going to use this footage however they see fit.
Yeah.
So, but you were in an even more vulnerable position because you are being placed within an emotionally vulnerable situation because you're surrounded by hot single men.
Yeah.
Kind of.
No, that was the big thing for me. It was because I am such a control freak. I like to have control over every aspect of my life, especially in like dating or like who I'm seeing, who I spend my time with. And like, it was such a weird thing to be thrown in, to have cameras on you the whole time. The only time you weren't filmed is when you were having a shit, to put it bluntly, like genuinely. And then another element of that was having someone paired up with that you had to kiss before you even spoke to them while being filmed. So it was just like, you had to be really open in that kind of idea. But then I think the adrenaline in that situation probably helps. And like, I do work well under pressure. So I was just like, right, fuck it, let's just do it. Nothing else before was working for me in the dating world. So let's give this a go. Do you know what I mean? I got to that point where I was like, you know, how I'm doing it, the blueprint isn't working for me. So let's just try something different. Let's open the heart.
So before you got to Italy, were you given like some sort of like psychosymmetric test for them to try find you a match? Were you given like a big long questionnaire?
Yeah, we would go to like White City and they would talk to the producers and they would ask like, oh, what's your type? Are you top? Are you bottom? What kind of things you like about guys? What are you into? Like what's like very specific? They're like, do you have any fetishes? Do you have any like
Oh wow.
Yeah, they were like, do you have any like weird things that you like about someone? I was like, oh, I like hands. I'm really into like people who are like passionate about things. Like it wasn't all sexual, but there were some sexual questions asked. But yeah, they were really like, we had to fill out questionnaires. It was very, very thorough, I will say.
Okay, I want to quiz Dylan for season two of I Kissed a Boy. Okay, so Dylan, what's your type?
Anyone male or male presenting?
It's my you're like okay. You're like a fist fucking leather daddy.
Okay, so you might need to be more specific. That's not going to help.
I know.
BBC
See, I don't
down.
I don't have like a specific type. Like if you lined up all my both sexual conquests and people I've dated. It really is like a complete like.
It kills me when people call them conquests. I love it.
Conquest.
My conquests.
Do you imagine like me or like on a horse with a sword?
And let's not like beat around the bush. You would probably wear that anyway. That's
oh, I would
for you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. A little Excalibur moment.
Yeah, like a Tudor-y floaty shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, lace up front. Yeah, nice yes. Billowing collar and a bloom sleeve. Gorgeous.
This is not a joke, dear listeners. This is absolutely Dylan's style. Yeah, I think it's difficult as well. And I suppose the makers of the show were in a tight squeeze because whereas what you might have a passing fancy for sexually isn't necessarily what you would look for in a long-term partner.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I'm quite like, I'm not rigid with my type really. It's all about the person for me, honestly. I know that sounds so like, it's not about how you look. I mean, listen, I'm not going to open the book if I don't like the front cover, basically. But for a long longevity relationship, you need to like what's on the inside. You need to write like the words on the inside, you know?
So you were matched with Sabomi. What was going through your brain when you first saw him appear on the horizon?
I was like, well, first of all, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And not energy was beautiful because he smiled. He was a big smiler. And that's like a big thing for me. Like, you're not going to be attracted to someone if they have like a bitch face, like most gays in gay clubs nowadays that like, give you stink eyes. Do you know what I mean? They're all just looking at
and
you.
And that's good. That's good as well, because it will have helped dispel that like extremely tense situation.
No, it definitely. I mean, anxiety and stuff was high, obviously. You were being filmed. You never met this person before. You're expected to kiss. You know, you don't know what you're going to talk about after. You don't know how the kiss is going to go. You don't know if they're going to eat your face off or give you a peck or not want to kiss you. Like, there's all these things running through your head. Oh, I like them. Do they like me? I like how they look. Do they like how I look? He's gorgeous. He won't find me attractive. You know, there's all these things that run through your head. And I think Tsubumi's energy straight away, he smiled and he was open. And he, like, opened his arms with his face, if that makes sense. So I kind of felt immediately calm. And he was a good kisser, so.
An open heart. Do you think that putting you in such an extraordinary situation and sort of forcing you to be vulnerable actually kind of proves Carrie's, well, it almost disproves Carrie's point? Do you think you need to be slightly vulnerable in order to find love?
I think you do. I think, you know, water's not going to go through a cement wall. You know, it's not going to mix. So I think you genuinely need to. And I actually, that's probably one thing I did learn from that, because I can be quite stone cold and very, you know, have my guards up all the time, probably due to my closeted background triggered. But I think it's very important, and it's a mature thing to show that you need to be vulnerable and you need to show them the ugly sides of you just as well as the, you know, the prim proper sides as well. I think that's very important for a relationship to bloom and last 100%. You need to let them see the shit. You know what I mean?
Okay, let's take a break, because then on the other side, we're going to talk about how Samantha is about to run into that problem now, which is if you never up and up, you'll never get hurt, but you'll also never find love. So stay tuned and we'll be back in two ticks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we are talking about season 6, I want to say episode 11, Dylan, is that right?
Yeah, episode 11.
Yeah.
The Domino Effect. And we are joined by our very special guest, Gareth Valentino from Off of I Kissed a Boy, which is on BBC iPlayer right now. Right.
Hi, boy.
Let's talk. Yeah. let's talk about Smith and Samantha. So Carrie posits, how dangerous is it to have an open heart? How dangerous is it to be vulnerable? Samantha is literally physically injured by Smith's attempts at intimacy. Actually, and so is Steve. Yeah. Oh my God, this is a running theme. So yeah, let's start with Samantha.
Also, Sex and the City love doing this. Like, they love using like physical pain to like signpost like emotional pain. Like when Natasha falls down the stairs and chips her tooth and it's like, ow. Mm-hmm. Samantha falls into a sidewalk.
Sidewalk. Yeah.
And Carrie says, that's my worst fear.
Well, there are a lot of those hatches in Manhattan. It is a real thing because there are so many basement venues.
But I'm
so
like,
you can see why as a...
But I'm like, well, actually, sometimes, you know, when you're like stood outside a pub and they have like those beer hatches, and sometimes like they put a table, an outside table on the beer hatch. And if I notice I'm sat on one of those, I'm a bit like...
Dubious,
yeah. But the fact that it's Carrie's worst fear, like, is that really her worst fear, is falling into a sidewalk hatch?
She wears very high heels, Dylan. She could really do herself some damage.
That's another thing I can appreciate about Sex and the City as well, the symbolism of the fashion. Samantha was holding a clutch with hands on it.
Oh.
And I was like, big slay, big props to the stylist, because that was fierce.
Patricia Field.
Well, yeah.
Come on, Patricia.
Although she loses points for Carrie's straw trilby, I think.
Oh, yeah. Shit drag.
I didn't like it, but I've got a feeling she was wearing head-to-toe Dolce & Gabbana, which is very problematic now, but I've got a feeling that straw hat was Dolce, I think.
She loved Dolce, didn't she? She was always wearing Dolce. Mm-hmm. Ugh,
I loved...
It was before they were properly outed as being strange.
Strange gaze.
I thought she looked absolutely stunning in those first scenes in that sort of sequiny dress.
When she was... Carrie.
Yeah,
she did. She looked good. Her little wafy frame and a little sequin dress. Come on.
Yeah, and she was... And this episode as well, she was like glowing. She had like a great tan. The hair was great. She was...
Do you know what? This is very niche, and I think a lot of the sort of the... female listeners will appreciate the job on Carrie's highlights is a thing of scientific perfection.
Oh, really?
To get that kind of honey blonde with the dark brown. So on one hand, it's like the darkest her hair's ever been, but then with these incredible sort of blonde highlights, that is the hair we all aspire to.
Is that what the technicians call a balayage? Is that right?
Balayage is when it starts lighter and gets dark towards
like an ombre, and like an ombre, not a highlight.
Yeah, like an ombre. So I think it's more with pieces, but possibly a lot of low lights as well, because I think a lot of Carrie's hair at the moment is actually darker than her natural shade. So I think she's had some very expensive colorist,
gorgeous mane
on her head,
gorgeous mane of hair, gorgeous mane. Love a curly
sticking
hair.
Sticking on clothes, I really liked him. I really liked Samantha's neon pink summer dress when she's hobbling along with her broken foot.
I kind of thought that the foot cast added as well. I was like, that's quite a look. It's very Balenciaga, that.
I can't fuck with the fact that she's wearing one heel.
I know.
And one, like, because she's literally like trotting along, kind of like.
Surely that would make it
level
worse.
Out.
That would make it even worse. That would make it harder to like repair your foot if you're on a fucking heel.
And I know
I think they were having a laugh. That must have been a punchline.
Yeah.
No human in the world would want to sort of limp around. Oh my god, or maybe one foot higher.
Or maybe
because
this was when SJP and Kim Cattrall hated each other, wasn't it? Maybe behind the scenes. Yeah, maybe behind the scenes SJP was like, make her wear a heel with the
cast. I was just thinking, can you imagine like off camera when having a break, like Kim having a cigarette with a fucking foot cast on and a heel? That kills me.
I need just to see chatting. That behind the scenes. I need to see that god. Shot.
Fab. I love it.
What did we make of Samantha's intimacy problems? Is she just being
right? First of all,
or has she been hurt?
Can I just say my favorite line from that episode was when her and Smith are having sex, and she just goes, "Now put your finger on my clit."
Yeah, and it was such an abrupt scene change as well, and I was like, oh.
And then she goes, you feel that rage? It fucking sent me. I was howling. Oh, it was so good. But yeah, her intimacy problems, I mean, I can relate a lot to that. Being a gay man walking down the street, I don't want to hold a gay man's hand. It's terrifying. Do you not think?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you a hand holder, Dylan?
No. I wouldn't be even if
I'm not
a straight.
PDA-er. I'm not a PDA-er. I'm not about that.
But you have got to, it's sad that you have still got to think about it a bit. Like,
yeah, it's like gay, just that kind of like response, isn't it? You think you're going to get like attacked or someone's going to say something, or you can see like these eyes moving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's probably where I grew up from. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I still, even to this day, I don't think I could hold someone's hand.
I'm just more like, it's not so much that I feel unsafe, it's more just like I don't want my day ruined, like if someone did happen to say something, so I might
it's
as well
easier
just
not to
yeah just not
100%
do it.
100% but even when I see straight couples do it, I'm just like, get it, like you don't need to have your hand in her back pocket. We know you're straight and we know you're together. Like, we get it.
Do you and Max
I think I might be a hand holder.
Are you?
I think I always was. Now, this could be that I live in Brighton, which is a little pocket of tolerance. But do you know what? There was something, and maybe again, speaking about control issues, I liked holding hands because it was like, this one's mine. You can tell I'm holding on to him, kind of. And now I think being in the position of being married and also kind of being fairly cis passing, kind of, it's kind of, it doesn't really enter my head, and that is a privilege. That is something that not all trans people have, and so I feel very lucky that I am able to potter around town holding my husband's hand. And
you're right, so nice.
people wouldn't give me a second look. I wonder if when I was dragging slightly unwilling men around by the hand in my 20s, before I transitioned, I wonder if there was something a bit defiant about it. I remember being, just after I moved to Brighton when I was about 22, 23, I was holding hands with a guy and we got spat at.
Oh my God.
And I think after that, I was kind of like, right, fuck you. I'm going to be as visible
so you're going
as
even
I
more,
possibly
yeah,
can, as like as going a massive kind of like burger, two fingers up at Brighton kind of. Mm. Whereas now it feels much less political and more just...
Which is great. Which is great. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting that you went, your mind goes to the other side of that, whereas I'm like, oh, I just don't want anyone to like bother me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I think both make sense for sure.
It's funny because watching this episode, I was like, why is Samantha being such a big baby about holding hands? And then Smith does tell her off. He's like, what is it he says? Something about kind of...
He's just like, hold my fucking hand.
Hold my fucking hand.
Yeah, hold my fucking hand. Yeah. Yeah, something. Does he call it horse shit or something? Yeah. Hold my fucking hand. Yeah.
But it's nice. It's a continuation of this arc for her that I like. Like, it's done quite sensitively, I think. They're not being like, oh, she was such a slut and now she's... like gone down the right path. It's just this very like chill, slowly developing thing of her like slowly realizing that she does care for this guy, which is nice. I'm not mad at it.
No. At least hot,
I like the bit where she says, "I did not fuck a single or married man while he was away."
That was good.
And then she's like, she says, "I missed him." So again, her heart is open. Yeah. She's vulnerable.
Yeah.
And Carrie very wisely says, "Life is short. You might want to consider holding his hand."
Bless.
Carrie's right, which is maybe life is just too short to be that closed off. And that another reason why.
I would agree, honestly. Now I'm in my 29th year, I would say life's too short to worry about that now. You know, maybe I will hold hands with a guy down the street one day. Maybe I'll get there.
And you can see as well, that's why Carrie is so quick to write Big off at the end of the episode, which is he should know better than this. You know, he's older than her.
What age is Big at this point? What age is he? Like 40?
I don't think we know exactly, but I think we're supposed to assume if she's late 30s, he's probably like 50.
Mm.
Well, he flinches. There's the, you know, in when she turns 34 and then he meets her at the end in his limo and she's like, what box do you tick? And she gets him to flinch. I think he's in the 40 to 45 box.
Oh, okay.
I think. Mm. If, again, some listener is absolutely going to tell me I've got that wrong. And you're right too, because we are meant to be the experts. let's move on to Miranda, Dr. Robert, Steve, and Debbie, the love square for the ages.
This was great. This
amazing scenes.
I'm just going to address the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor's ass.
Oh, I know.
Thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's all I wanted to talk about for this whole podcast.
What the hell?
I'm going to screen grab it and put it on our podcast Instagram for sure.
Please don't, because you'll get our Instagram shadow banned.
Are we not allowed bums?
No, you're not allowed bums.
No, you sounded like Danny there. No.
No.
No, you're not allowed bums.
We're not expecting bums.
At all.
I
need to change the gender pronoun.
His ass looks like two eggs in a thin hanky. That's how I can describe it. Gorgeous,
but like such a great scene.
Oh my god,
so good. And just the humiliation just keeps coming for Steve, ending in like the tampons up his nose.
The tampons up the nose. Come on, Steve. Steve's hot to me. A nerd.
Thank you. I was alone in that until now. He's like my of the main men. He's my fave.
And he's got like a burly bod. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's got a good bod.
Hot. Yeah, he's nice. And he doesn't show off. He's the underdog. Yeah. He's the Clark Kent, you know?
The Clark Kent of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
He's no Che Diaz.
Not Che Diaz.
But anyway, Robert Leeds, very, very sexy. Mm. He makes enchiladas as well. More's to the point. Not only is he amazing in bed, but he cooks.
See, when she licks his...
Marry him.
When she licks his finger, that made me feel a bit ill. Like, she sucked his finger. I was like,
well, he puts two fingers. Yeah.
Why?
I had a slight issue with when she comes to her flat and he's just like in her flat.
He's broken in.
Making dinner.
That's what we call breaking.
I think I'd be a bit like, if I hadn't been dating someone for very long, even if I really liked them, if I just came home and they were like,
what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, literally.
But she was like, oh, hi.
You'd be like, you're using my electricity. What are you doing? It's the cost of living, babe.
Cost of living.
Fucking hell. You just let yourself in. Put the shower on.
I did like it when she was like, I have placemats.
Oh, yeah. Very me, actually. I love a dinner party and I love a little placemat.
Stunning. A spread.
Yeah, spread.
Robert convinces Miranda to have a day off.
Yeah.
So that they can have morning sex, which again, Dylan and I are very against.
The breath, honey, the breath.
The breath. And just, I want a little croissant. I don't want sex. Just a lovely pan of chocolate.
Mid morning, have your breakfast and then have a little shower and then, you know,
this is what we do.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sex for lunch, sex for brunch, sex for brunch.
Jazz brunch, Jazz brunch.
Jazz brunch,
yeah. We once pumped past a sign saying, come to jazz brunch. And we were like, jazz brunch. And it just stuck. So jazz brunch is sex between 10:30 and 12. That's
I
jazz
love
brunch.
That. Jazz brunch, that's great.
I'll enter that one into the lexicon. and then Steve walks in. I mean, that is mortifying. Yeah. I'm not sure has anybody ever walked in and either of you having sex?
Does a Porterloo count?
Yeah.
He does. Dylan just nodded silently, which makes me think there is a story about Dylan's
Dylan's mouth. Like, there could be 100 people in a room and you're having sex.
With all of them.
With all of them.
No, my friend Chrissy, she won't mind me talking about this because she tells everyone all the time. My friend Chrissy was staying over years ago at my house because she lives in Manchester. And we both came back from a night out separately. She got back before me and I came back with a guy. She heard me come back but didn't realise I had a guy with me. And the words that she uses are, I opened the door and walked in and you were just there, arse in the air.
She could see your dinner.
She could see my That's horrible.
But, she could see what you had for jazz brunch.
But that's the it's only happened once actually, which is kind of surprising.
Into which room did she walk?
Into my bedroom, because she just thought I was by myself, and she was, I mean, we were all
imagine you were like in the pantry. the water closet.
Maybe she got what she deserved, that if she walked into a private boudoir,
without knocking,
without knocking, what was she expecting to happen?
You don't walk into a gay's bedroom without knocking or giving you pre-warning. Come on. You know what
I think
they're
she
like.
She was drunk and she was just like, oh, let's compare notes from the night out, and just walked in and was, yeah.
God bless. You presented her with something.
Yeah, but I was presenting.
Yeah.
What about you, Juno?
No. I once walked in on a flatmate pleasuring themselves.
Hell. How do you recover from that? How do you go back? Like, do you just meet them in the kitchen and you're like, so how was your day? Like, do you talk about it?
It was never spoken of ever again.
And do you know what? Fair. Honestly, mm-hmm. No one needs to see that. Sister dick makes you sick, yeah. Honestly. If I walk in front of one of my friends, if I walked in front of Karen doing that, I don't know if I could look her in the face again. Do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ.
And Gareth, you were caught out in a porta potty.
I was. You know what it's like at a festival, girl? You got to make do.
I know that I don't want to go on the porta potties. They're not sexy places.
They were like the it was like the more chicer one. It was like a bigger one.
Was it the VIP one?
Yeah, the VIP. And there wasn't like the usual piss or shit up the wall. It was clean. You know, we checked. But it's a field full of people. You need to go somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Was this a Mighty Hoopla surprise?
No, she was a Primavera moment, God bless.
Oh, lovely.
And Dua Lipa was playing in the background, I remember it very vividly.
Doing her dance.
She was singing.
Dance that Dua Lipa can do.
Oh my God, yeah, she was singing Levitating. I remember it so, so clearly.
I'm levitating.
They get into the portaloo? Did they break in? Had you not locked it?
No. Yeah, like we forgot to lock the door.
Ah, okay.
Because it was in the moment, you know?
Mm.
We weren't opening.
Nobody locks the door in the moment.
No, exactly. You open everything else. You don't lock that door, honey.
But then what goes around comes around. Samantha... Actually, we haven't come across Samantha's homophobia moment. But Samantha initially points out, well done, Miranda, you've won. And Charlotte's like, it's not a contest. And Samantha's like, yep, no contest. And she also objectifies Dr. Robert. She says, you were fucking a hot black doctor. What does his race have to do with anything, Samantha? And then, of course, what goes around comes around, because later on Miranda makes a tit of herself in front of Debbie, who is also stunning.
Oh my God, yeah. She's beautiful.
I was thinking it'd be kind of funny if like the storyline went the way of like Debbie and Dr. Robert. Because let's be honest, like Miranda and Steve are both like punching well above their weight with Debbie and Dr. Robert. So it would be funny if like they both left them for each other.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen, because I've never seen that episode. That's what I thought was going to happen. She was he like was a doctor for the Knicks, and she was like, oh my God, I love the Knicks, right?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that's where it was going.
Yeah.
Debbie is just a sweet, simple girl, and it feels like there's a little bit, just a whiff, and we'll talk about this more maybe next week. There's a little whiff of classism around Debbie. Now, she's a woman of colour, but also, like, the cheap candle, the cheap baby clothes that she's bought for Brady, the acrylic nails, there's just a whiff of...
And she's got, like, a bit of a...
Debbie's paw.
She's got, like, a bit of a Queens twang as well, hasn't she, I think? Like, a bit of a New Jersey Queens kind of... kind of twang.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like Queen's twang. I was like, she doesn't sound British. What are you talking about?
It sounds like the Queen.
Hello, I'm Debbie.
Hello, I'm Debbie.
No, yeah, she's giving Brooklyn or Bronx.
Yeah.
She's definitely got a bit of an accent, yeah. And there is just a bit of a vibe around Debbie that I find a little bit off. But she's stunning, let's be honest. And just a very sweet girl as well. Like, Stevie loves the Knicks. What do you call our seats?
Nosebleed seats. That was good.
Awkward. But then again, big finish, which is Miranda and Steve have that moment by the door when Steve drops Brady off and he's like, Melinda. And she's like, like, and there's like a little hunger in her eyes.
Yeah.
Because she still wants him. Mm.
She still wants him.
Well, it'll come out in the wash in just 1 week's time. Stick around, viewers.
So what? Bitsy Von Muffling and Charlotte's yes. baby, or lack of
Bitsy Von Muffling. Come on, what a name!
The IUIs and the she's IBS amazing. And the I give up.
And let's not forget that she's in the first scene of And Just Like That, where she reveals, since my Bobby died of the COVID. What?
I haven't got the. I can't do it. I can't do it again. Season two.
What?
Oh, there'll be more moments fresh from the makers of My Bobby Died of the COVID comes And Just Like That, season two. But anyway. So yes, Charlotte is having acupuncture. It's so funny. Do you know what? And we talk about this a lot, the weird things from Sex and the City which have infiltrated your life. Sometimes when people are triggering me and making me feel really anxious, I hear it in my head, the boo 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 boo, the music that Dr. Mao puts on. That is it's the drown people out music. When people start, especially in the publishing industry, like, oh, she got a 7-figure advance from America, and oh, she's been nominated for the Booker. Bum bum bum. I don't want to hear it. You've got to block it out.
Do you know what I thought with Dr. Mal? And this is like a really sad sign of like how bad Sex and the City's been with stuff. I was like, oh, well done. They weren't racist about Dr. Mal. They didn't do any like plinky
as
Chinese.
As if that's the bar. Do you know what I mean? Oh, well done.
But like, they didn't rhyme his name with something, some sort of Chinese food. Like, they didn't, you know, like, usually there is something. But I guess apart from the slightly stereotypical fact that he's an acupuncturist, like, it was fine. But, you know, that's small. By Sex and the City standards, that's pretty small potatoes.
They didn't give him a Mickey Rooney accent. There was no comedy around his race, kind of. It was just, you know, and he helps these women to conceive.
Allegedly. I mean, acupuncture is, I think that's bullshit, isn't it?
It is bullshit. I had it once and I was like, this is not
Have you had it?
Yeah, I had it for my shoulder once and it literally just made my arm go numb for like a day. I was like, not sure I'm going to do this again.
I'm not sure. I've heard it does work for certain things, but I very much doubt it works for pregnancy.
No.
Well, so I will give Charlotte / Dr. Mal the benefit of the doubt, which is, if what this episode is telling us is that Charlotte's anxiety is what's affecting her fertility, I can definitely vibe with that. Because once I was put on anti-anxiety medication to treat a physical complaint, and I was like, no, you're not listening to me. I'm here because I think there's something wrong with you. And they're like, yes, you're making yourself sick.
Oh.
And they put me on an antidepressant to treat a physical symptom. And lo and behold, it did work.
Voila.
So actually, I'm willing to believe Charlotte's anxiety is affecting her fertility.
Yeah, I mean, true. That's believable. Yeah, good point.
While we're on medical stuff, Big's nurse Ruby, is Tonya T. Patano, who is Halia in Weeds, who I absolutely love. But she's not in much.
That's cool.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen Weeds, you wouldn't know, but she's incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen Weeds, God bless.
No, me either.
Yeah.
Is Samantha Jones allowed to say the F word? Discuss. She's basically a gay man.
I think so.
She's not.
I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah, I think she can.
Yeah, come on.
At this point.
Yeah, come on. Samantha.
Yeah.
She's not allowed to live in a apartment that's trendy by day and tranny by night. I'm going to say she's definitely not allowed to say that. That's not okay.
I think so.
Oh, poor Bobby Fine. Dead of COVID and victim of homophobic bullying.
I think I also thought in that al fresco brunch scene, we always praise Sex and the City for being shot on location. I think they were on a set. I was watching people go by and I was like, I think that might be a screen behind them. Yeah. I don't know.
Does make life easier if you don't have to control the weather and close the street. Like, I noticed, you know, once you see, I don't know if you're watching Yellow Jackets, but once you realise that forest is inside, it just slightly changes the rest of the series. But you can see why. You can't actually have them acting in a snow-covered forest.
Oh my God, it was amazing. I'm rewatching Ugly Betty at the moment. And there's...
Oh, I'm just finished.
Oh my God, it's such a good rewatch, isn't it?
I love, oh my God,
Amanda.
So good. I love her. The outfit.
Just always on.
The way she's like strutting all the time, like just nowhere. And like, she's like a binge eater as well. It kills me. She's so funny.
But there's an episode where they quote unquote go to London and the set that they step out, of course, of a black cab onto this set. And at the end of the street, there's a CGI rendering of the Gherkin, the London Eye and Big Ben all at the end of one street.
And there's there's cobbles everywhere and the Scottish designer's wearing a tartan poncho, like they're bringing it all through. There's guards everywhere.
Just randomly.
Hello mate, we're going to a pub.
welcome to London.
Hello. Let's finish by answering Carrie's question.
Tell us.
How dangerous is it to have an open heart? Is it worth it, basically?
It's dangerous, but it's necessary, I feel like. To go further in your life in a relationship, you need to be vulnerable, you need to have open heart, and I think it probably makes the sex better, let's be honest.
Yes, I would completely agree.
You know, it's necessary.
Yeah, I think open heart and open mind as well.
An open hole as well. Popper,
the three
poppers.
Openings.
Poppers. A little bit of poppers as well. That'll help. God bless.
Do you know, this is why I love I Kissed a Boy and why it wouldn't work in America. They would all be so polite and chaste. I love that within minutes of this show starting, somebody's like, so who is a top and who is a bottom? I'm like, yes! British gay people! America, I don't think America would be having that conversation.
Yeah, there's no small talk with us girlies over here, is there? We just get down to it.
Before we let you go, Gareth, is there any amazing gossip that you're allowed to say about what it was like to be in the not a villa? Did anybody do you nut?
Let's just say a lot of people said there were tops when they weren't. There we go. There we go. That's all I'm giving you.
Why would you lie?
You're gonna get found out at some point, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck's sake, girl. I'm a top.
Well, you were very, very clear about that.
Just for the record.
There was no ambiguity.
So if anything, it was good for you, though, that people were lying.
Yeah.
But it must have been even more annoying if, like, for the bottoms, with people lying, that they were tops.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're two bottoms together. What the fuck's that? What are they going to do? Bump purses?
Bumper cars, yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Because I always felt that when, back in the day, when men said they were vers.
Mm-mm. Juno's shaking her head, everybody.
So I think, that's why lie? Maybe I think once in about like 2013, I think I wrote a piece for Attitude about bottom shaming. Maybe it's time to dust it off and re-put that back. Just earn it.
Bring back bullying.
In a world
back,
where everyone is honest.
Bring back bullying. Bring it back.
But if everybody was honest, everybody might get what they want. If you say what you want, you might get it. If you are looking for someone who is all top all the time, say so.
Yeah.
And the universe might provide it.
Have an open heart.
Open heart, open head, open hole. And that is
a triple threat.
That is the mantra.
That's a triple threat.
That is the
right
mantra.
There.
That's our new. That can
that
be our
I would
new
like
to
take forward.
That can be our new tagline for the podcast.
I think we've done it. It's taken us what 4 years now since we started this podcast, and we finally have a slogan. There we go. Thank you, Garrett.
You're welcome.
You've enriched You're welcome. Our podcast.
I'll send you the invoice. I'll send you the invoice. Bless.
Please feel free. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for giving up a chunk of your morning. That's so kind.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
And you can, of course, catch Gareth out in I Kissed a Boy, which is currently on BBC iPlayer and BBC Three. If you haven't watched it yet,
get it watched, girl.
So we're taking a brief break.
Spring break!
And just like that break. Woohoo!
So stay tuned and we'll be back at the beginning of July.
Until then, stay safe. Thanks again, Gareth. Bye for now.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
So stay tuned and we'll be back at the beginning of July. Au revoir.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.